May 8, 1927. How the divine will is immense, and everything it does carries the mark of immensity. In the midst of the privations of my sweet Jesus, though I feel their hard martyrdom, I abandon myself in the arms of the supreme volition, as its little daughter who is raised on its knees, attached to its breast, to live of its life and in its likeness. And my beloved Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, "My daughter, my will is immense, and everything that can come from within it carries the mark of its immensity." One single word of it issued the immensity of the heavens with all the stars. From one word of it came out the sun with the immensity of its light. And so with many other things. Now, in order to issue this immensity of light and of heavens, first I had to create the space in which to put this immensity of light and of heavens. Now, whenever my will wants to speak, first it looks to see whether there is the space in which to put the great gift of its word, that may be another heaven, a sun, a sea even greater. This is why many times my will remains silent, because the space in which to put the great gift of the immensity of its word is lacking in creatures. And in order to be able to speak, first it bilocates its will, and then it speaks, placing its immense gifts within its very self. This was the reason why, in creating man, we gave him the greatest gift, the most precious, the richest inheritance, our will as depository in him, to be able to tell him the surprises of our immense gifts of the word of our fiat. As he rejected our bilocated will, we no longer found the space in which to place in him the great gift of our creative word. Therefore he remained poor and with all the miseries of his human will. See, of everything that also took place in my humanity, the greatest miracle was to restrict all the immensity of my divine will in it. The miracles I made can be called nothing compared to this. More so, since it was my nature to be able to give life by making creatures rise again, give sight to the blind, speech to the mute, and all the other miraculous things I did. Indeed, it was my own nature to be able to give as many goods as I wanted. At most, it was a miracle for those who received them, but for me the greatest miracle was to restrict my divinity, the immensity of my will, its endless light, its unreachable beauty and sanctity, within myself. This was the prodigy of prodigies, that only a god could do. Therefore, as much as I may give to a creature, I would always give her little in comparison with giving her the great gift of my will. New heavens, more refulgent suns, unheard of things, surprises never before seen, can be seen in her. Heaven and earth tremble and fall on their knees before a soul who possesses the great gift of my will, and with reason, because they see, coming out from her, the vivifying and creative virtue and strength that preserves them in the new life created by God. Oh! Power of my will, if they knew you, how many would aspire to your great gift, and would give their lives to have you. After this, I continued my acts in the divine will, and my sweet Jesus added, "My daughter, one who lives in my will has within herself this divine will dominating and reigning. The soul is the possessor of it, she holds it in her power. And while she possesses the divine will, holding its strength, its sanctity, its light, its goods in her power, the divine will possesses the soul. And by holding her in its power, human weaknesses, passions, miseries and a human will are kept under the unshakable power and the sanctity of the supreme will, and before this power, they feel themselves lose life. So, weakness feels conquered by the irresistible strength of the divine fiat. Darkness feels conquered by light. Miseries by its infinite riches, passions by its virtues, the human will by the divine. What difference between one who lives in my will, and one who only does my will? The first one possesses it and has it at her disposal. The second is submitted it, and receives it according to her dispositions. And between possessing it and receiving it there is as much distance as between heaven and earth, there is as much distance as between one who possesses immense riches and one who receives, day by day, what is of absolute necessity. Therefore, one who does my will and does not live in it, is forced to feel weakness, passions, and all the rags and miseries that are the provision of the human will. Such was the state of Adam before he withdrew from the divine will. It was given to him by his Creator as the greatest gift, because it contained all goods as one. He possessed it, dominated it, and was ruler of this divine will, because God Himself had given him the right to master it. Therefore, he was master of the strength, of the light, of the sanctity, of the happiness of this eternal fiat. But when he withdrew from it, he lost possession and dominion, and reduced himself to receiving the effects of my will, according to his dispositions, rather than possessing them as his own. And one who finds himself in the condition of receiving is always poor. He is never rich, because a rich person possesses, does not receive, and is in the condition of being able to give part of his goods to others.